Please turn this evening to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And central to our thinking this evening are the very few words to be found in verse 18, where the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples, says these words: "Bring them hither to me. Bring them hither to me." Well, we don't need to read the entire passage. This account of the feeding of the 5,000 is, I'm sure, extremely well known to everyone who is here. And ordinarily, in looking at a passage of this kind, I think I would be drawn to look for a gospel application to this miracle. And of course, it is central to all of the miracles, all of the parables, the great theme of the gospel and the saving work of our Saviour, and how it is that we come for the forgiveness of our sins. And what we see here is pictured in the hunger of the people, the spiritual hunger and thirst that there is in the soul, and the fact that no human agency is able to meet that hunger. The disciples can bring nothing, very little to bear, and only Christ. And the blessing of Christ can really feed the deepest seated needs of the soul. That's the great picture here. And I'm not going to dwell on it at any more length than this, but if this describes you this evening, if as you come into the church tonight, there's this nagging ache in your heart, and you know that all that this world has to offer, all the things that you give yourself to, all its pleasures, all the material things, the things that you can touch, the things that you can possess, the things that you can enjoy, if these don't give you that inner satisfaction and peace in your conscience, it's because you're pictured like this crowd, hungry, needing sustenance. No human agency can meet that need. Nothing you look for in the world will ultimately satisfy and give you that peace in your conscience. Nothing that even a Christian minister can do or say in and of themselves is of any help. Only Jesus Christ and what he does and his blessing in our lives can really satisfy. Turn to him. Run to him. Ask him. He's waiting to receive all who come to him in repentance and faith. And so while this is a picture of gospel blessings, and it's right to look at it in that way, I want to focus on it this evening with some lessons for us as Christian believers. The tremendous things that we can learn from these things. And the great principle that we see set before us here is a truth that is astonishing even to consider it. That in the work of God, he so often chooses to use weak and feeble instruments and means to do great things. And that's the application that we're going to consider this evening. I don't very often have a three-point sermon, but since I've got one this evening, I'll tell you my 3 points before I begin. We're going to look at the insufficiency of the means. Then we're going to look at the miracle of the means. But thirdly, a surprise element, the further multiplication of the means. So we begin with the insufficiency of the means. Look down to verse 15 in this chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ, having heard of the death of John the Baptist, went into a solitary place to be apart. There was in our Saviour that natural grief as a man for the loss of John the Baptist on hearing of his death. He went to this solitary place apart, but the crowd got to hear of his whereabouts and they pursued him. And we read that in verse 14, when Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude, he was moved with compassion toward them and he healed their sick. Such was his love for them. And this was an arduous day of labour for him, as so many came to him to be blessed. But the hour moved on, and it was towards evening time, verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." So the disciples come, and they plead with the Lord that the crowd be dismissed so that they can find food for themselves. But then look at verse 16. Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." The disciples are commissioned to feed the crowd by our Saviour. And we imagine that even as the Saviour said those words, they were casting around and, you know, their hands were open, shrugging their shoulders. How can this be done? The people have just come. They've just left all and come after the Saviour to see him and to be blessed by him. And they go rooting around the crowd and they find that young lad who had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And they bring this to the Saviour. They mention this to him, verse 17. And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And it was almost so small, so paltry an amount, that it was barely worth mentioning. It was so evidently insufficient. It wasn't even their own. And we're told in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 9, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. It wasn't even theirs. And yet they mentioned it to the Saviour. And it's in the context of that that the Saviour says to the disciples, "Bring them hither to me." And we pause to reflect, because we too, like the disciples, we are commissioned by our God. As we look around us, as you think about the community that surrounds this church, the commission of the Lord to you as a fellowship is, "The people need not depart. Give ye them to eat." The people are starving. The people are spiritually benighted. They are uneducated about spiritual things. They are in desperate need. They're seeking their peace and happiness in the things of this world. And they're going to be judged one day for living their lives away from their God. And as we come, we may feel with great heaviness before the Lord, and we say to the Lord, "There are so many people to be reached, and we can't do it." And yet the Lord commissions us. He says, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And like the disciples, we cast about. Well, what resources have we got? And just like the disciples, the things that we have at our disposal seem almost unworthy of being mentioned. How can we ever do it? How can we reach a community? We are, as people, who are we? How do people regard us? Well, they regard us as old-fashioned. They regard us as out of date, outmoded, irrelevant. This message, this book that was written 2,000 years ago, what has that got to say to modern-day society? And it seems almost as nothing. And we can't command a hearing. We can't go out. And the people will listen to us eagerly. Oh, we feel the resources that we have at our disposal are so small. We don't have great gifts of oratory. Who could go out into the street and begin to speak, and the crowds would come? Because such is the power of their oratory that people are compelled to come and listen to them. Well, we don't have those powers. And yet we're commissioned by our Lord. Don't send them away. You give them to eat. And it hardly seems worth mentioning the things that we have available to us. We don't have the financial resources. We don't have access to the media. It's very hard for us to bring this message and bring it before people. And we feel like the disciples. The means at our disposal to fulfill this tremendous commission in reaching a community with the gospel, well, it's almost impossible. But you know, just like with the disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ says to us, as individuals, and to us as churches, bring them hither to me. Now I'm going to let you into a secret. My wife is not very good with computers. And very often she gets into trouble. She starts doing something and then she can't do it. And so she asks for my help. I try to give her some advice. And after a while I get a bit cross with her and I said, bring it to me. But that is the exact opposite of what is going on here with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is speaking so kindly, and this comes so wonderfully to us. Oh, we're at an end of our own resources. We feel the impossibility of the task that is set us to do. But the Saviour, without any hint of annoyance, says, bring them hither to me. And these are beautiful words. Do you think there's some waste of words here? Bring them hither to me. Why did the Saviour, and we're beginning now to think about the use of the means, why did the Saviour use so many words? Why didn't he just say, bring them hither? Or bring them to me? Why did he say, bring them hither to me? Well, you see, there is an emphasis here. The emphasis is on bring them here to me. And there's strength in that, because the disciples were to realise that they were bringing those resources, futile, useless as they seemed for the great task that they were to perform, but they were to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they began to consider, we're bringing them to him, well, that was to stir in their minds and in their hearts hope that great things could be accomplished. And there's almost an implied promise here that these things, which are, may I use the word, devoted to him, consecrated to him. We hear little in Christian churches today about consecration and devotedness to our God, but this is the great theme, in a sense, of what we're looking at him. With anything that is devoted to him comes with a great promise implied that he will take and use and do wonderful things with what we bring. So what are we to bring? What is it that we are to bring and to devote and to consecrate to our God? Let me make a number of suggestions. We're to bring, first of all, our gifts and our graces. Now, like the disciples, who weren't actually the owners of this food, our gifts, our graces are just that. They are gifts given to us to hold in trust and to use on behalf of our great and glorious God. Every one of us in this building tonight has a unique set of gifts and capacities that God has given us to use in his service. And they are not ours. They're not ours by right. They're not ours because we have developed them in ourselves. They are exactly as we describe them, gifts. And we are to use them and in the service of our Lord. Is there someone here who is a very sympathetic person, a good listener, someone who is prepared to give time to people, someone who has that open heart and a desire to chat to people, to hear their stories and to hear their accounts and then bring the gospel to bear? Well, if that's something that you're good at, perhaps even outside of the Christian sphere, that's something that you can bring and devote to your God, to use in his service. Lord, help me. Help me in church to listen to people, to be interested in their cares and concerns, and seek to bring and commend the Saviour through that gift. Is there someone here who is a good organiser? Well, the church needs organising. So often, well, in our church, I don't know about here, but everything is rota driven. There are so many things to do, little things, and the rotas need to be drawn up. Things need to be organised. And if that's your skill, have you devoted it to the Lord? Lord, give me an opportunity to use this skill that thou hast given me in thy service. Do you have practical skills? Well, there's the upkeep of the building. There are so many things to do practically. Have you actively thought about it and devoted that skill? Some are hospitable, good cooks, love to entertain people. Have you consciously thought, this is a gift that God has given me that I can devote to him? Lord, show me who thou wilt have me to bring home, to encourage, to help, to speak to about spiritual things within the church, in the neighbourhood. Lord, direct me to those that I can open my home to and show a measure of Christian love. Have I actively thought of it and then devoted that, consecrated that skill, that gift to my God? Oh, there are so many things that fall under that category. But what I'm trying to get across is that these gifts, these capacities have been given to us by our God to be devoted in his service. They may not seem much to us. However can they be used? And yet the Lord is pleased to receive them and to bless. And then what about our resources? I'm a visiting preacher, so in one sense I feel a slightly greater liberty perhaps to speak about finances and giving financially to the work of the church. How much thought do we give to our giving? Do we do it in an automatic way? Is it something that comes easy to us? And we think that what I have to give, my tithe, my offering, is so small and insignificant. But the Saviour says, bring them hither to me. It may seem nothing at all, but just as he received and commended the gift of the widow's mite, a small gift given in a devoted spirit will be wonderfully and amazingly used. But we need to think about these things. I've spoken a little already about our homes. What about our cars? Those of us who are drivers, have we devoted, consecrated our cars to the service of the Lord? Is there someone I can bring in? Is there someone I can invite and agree to call on and bring them to church? If opportunity arises, perhaps in future days, with a Sunday school, to bring the children in. Lord, use my car in thy service. What about our time? They say that we are time poor in these days, but you know, we've got so many conveniences, so many helps, so many things that make our life relatively easy. All of us have some time that we can give and devote. It may seem an almost inconsequential amount of time. But if we actively consecrate that to the Lord, Lord, I have an evening. What can I do with that evening for thee? Our time, as well as our other resources. Well, you know what I'm about to say. This is about devoting all of ourselves, isn't it? I am. Who am I? What am I? I'm nothing. Just like those five loaves and two fishes. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to each one of us who is a follower of him, bring thyself hither to me. You know that little phrase? It's a very wonderful phrase. Let me tell you some of the things that it contains. Bring them hither to me. Surely it means this: the Lord will receive what we bring. There's no restriction. There's no exclusion. Well, bring me the fish, but leave the, I don't need the bread. In actual fact, the Lord Jesus didn't need either the bread or the fish. Such is his power that he could have fed the multitude by an act of his own innate power. But he chooses to use the means. And he asks that anything be brought. No rejection. So no matter how small it is that we feel that we can bring. He says, bring it hither to me. And then secondly, and in a sense I've touched on this already, bring everything. Bring the loaves and the fish. Not just one or the other. Bring them all. Bring both fish. Bring all five barley loaves. Don't leave one aside. Don't keep one back. Oh, but our tendency so often, even when there is a sincere desire to be devoted to our God, is that we are devoted in one area, but we hold back in another area. And the Saviour's promise is one that is all-embracing. Bring everything. Devote all. Devote yourself to me, lock, stock, and barrel. Surely this little phrase also means bring it in faith. Bring them hither to me. Not in a, well, it's hardly worth it. But since you've said, oh, no. Not grudgingly, not unwillingly, not despairingly, not half-heartedly. Bring it in faith. What is the Lord going to do with this? What great blessing will come as a result of this? Oh, if we come in faith, great things can be done. There's a lesson here even for churches. You know, I don't know who your treasurer is, so I can't be accused of saying anything against your treasurer. But in some churches that I know about, the treasurer is a bit of a sort of a damp squib on things. A suggestion is made, a new ministry that perhaps the church can engage in. And the people pray, and there is that growing excitement about the possibility of this ministry, and the treasurer says, don't think we've got the resources. I don't think we can do this. But what the Saviour says is, bring them hither to me. Bring it in faith. Trust me. Seek to do great things. Feed 5,000 men, besides women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's ridiculous. But in faith, and devoted to the Lord, well, tremendous things can be accomplished. So even as churches, we desire to seek to be bold for the sake of our God. Surely this also includes this. Bring it now. When you think about it, these fish and this bread, they're perishable goods. They're not going to last long. Bring them now. They're needed now, so bring them now. A little later may be too late. There's an application for us here, and this is very salutary, I think. We have been given gifts, capacities, but who knows how long we'll have those gifts and capacities. We've been given opportunities, wonderful opportunities to speak for our Saviour, to count for him, to stand for him. Who knows how long those opportunities will be afforded us. At the moment, we have means, however small those means may be. But who knows how long we'll have means to give anything at all. And we may be subjected to a measure of poverty that we didn't know before. Today, we have in measure health and strength. Who knows how long that health and strength will last? Who knows how long we'll have vigour enough to serve in some capacity? So the Saviour says, bring them hither to me. Bring them now. These things are transient, like perishable goods, and the opportunity, seize it while we have it. We'll look on down to verse 19. Again, I mentioned this morning that in the Bible, the little incidental details are of tremendous importance. And I'm just going to pick on one element of this verse. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake. In seeking a blessing from his Father upon that food, oh, a wonderful thing was about to take place as the means were being used in a miraculous way, and they were to be multiplied. But here is the wonderful thing. Look at this. And gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Think about that for a moment. The Saviour had said to the disciples, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And it was impossible. It cannot be done. We don't have the means. But as they consecrated and devoted to him that which they had, the Lord in his grace, and it is grace, and in his mercy towards his disciples, gave them the bread and the fish, that they could fulfill this impossible commission. He gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Do you know, if we are serious in being consecrated to our God, amazing things will happen. Amazing things. People that we thought were impossible to reach. The Lord, in his sovereign mercy and grace, opens up opportunities, and we're surprised at those who are saved and brought to salvation. Places that we thought were closed. Opportunities that we thought were impossible. Ministries that we felt as a fellowship could never be undertaken. The Lord strengthens us and enables us to do that which, humanly speaking, would be utterly impossible. Oh, it's an amazing thing that the Lord, in his mercy, enables us to fulfill even apparently impossible things for him. Oh, be careful here, because this is for the blessing and for the benefit of others. So as we devote these things to the Lord, it is with that in view, very much upon our hearts, that we may be used and blessed to the help of others. Well, we've seen the inadequacy of the means, and we've seen how those means were used in a miraculous way by our God. But you know, there's the multiplication of the means also. Look down to verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. That's incredible. That is astonishing. Now, we're not specifically told this, and this is perhaps more something in my imagination than anything else. But I often think, well, that's one basket per disciple. One basket for each disciple, full of the fragments. You know, they ended up with more than they started with. It's astonishing. It's amazing. And when you consider what John tells us in his account, there's a little phrase, and it's so important. It says, the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, listen to this, that nothing be lost. That nothing be lost. Here's my question. The disciples had eaten. Look again at verse 20. And they did all eat. The crowd. The 5,000 men. The women. And the children. The disciples had eaten. The Saviour had eaten. That all in that verse is very comprehensive. And they did all eat. Are we in any doubt? Read on. And were filled. They couldn't have eaten another morsel more. So here's my question. They've got a problem. What are they going to do with these baskets? What are they going to do with this food that remains? None is to be lost. And to make matters worse, it's perishable food. It's going to go off. Now, we're not told this, but I imagine that the disciples had to go out and find others to feed and to give of the excess that had come to them. But you know, there's a remarkable lesson for us in this. And as I begin to speak about it, let me just give you a little caveat. Because there is a brand of preacher that preaches what we call a prosperity gospel. If you give to the Lord, He'll give extra to you. So if you give financially, your bank balance is going to increase. Let me make it very plain. That is not what is being taught here. That is absolutely not what is being taught. And I don't want to be mistaken in any way about that. But there is a great principle here. And the Lord, in his kindness and in his goodness, deals with us so wonderfully. As we are consecrated men and women and young people to him in his service, bringing to him in faith all that we are, pitiful, tiny though it appears to be, as we are devoted to him, he will use those means to achieve remarkable things. But beyond that, he will give us even greater privileges and even greater blessings, greater opportunities to speak for him, greater capacities, more gifts, more capacities to use in his service. To try to illustrate this, let me give you a couple of things from my own experience in church. Up in London, as many of you know, we have a very large Sunday school. And when people come into the church and we see them converted, and we're anxious that they should have an avenue of Christian service. And many of them we approach and we speak to them, would you like to help in the Sunday school? And their initial reaction is, oh, I don't know that that's my particular gift or calling. I'm not used to children. I don't feel I have any particular gift or capacity to help with the children's work. And so we say to them, well, could you go on a minibus and just knock on the doors and bring some of the children in and just be a helper? Could you sit in on a class and just watch the children to make sure that they're attentive and they're not misbehaving? And they say, well, it's not my natural gift, but I'll do it. And they devote themselves to that particular act of service. Do you know, time after time after time, we have seen people who haven't felt gifted for children's work at all, suddenly you'll find them, can I teach a Sunday school class? The Lord has given me a burden for the children. And having been among the children, I want to tell them of something of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a little bit of that that I think is included here. That as we devote ourselves to the Lord, we get a basket back. New gifts, new capacities, greater opportunities to serve him. We've got to consecrate them too. We've got to use them quickly. We've got to take those opportunities. But they're there. In another area, in the next few weeks, we're holding our conference at the church, and in advance of that, on Saturdays, we have what we call our work parties, where we tidy the place up and do some decorating. And when again we ask the people who are able, would you like to come in and help us? Oh, I'm all fingers and thumbs. I can't do anything practical. I can't paint. Can't do anything like that. And yet they commit to coming, and they come along, and we train them. We show them how it's done, and they learn. Do you know, sooner or later you find that instead of calling in the decorator to decorate their home, they're doing their own painting and decorating. And you know, as an act of consecration, the money that they save, so often we see that is devoted to the service and to the ministry and work of the Lord. And again, it's just a little illustration of how as we devote ourselves to the Lord, he uses us, we accomplish much, but he gives us so much more that we can then reconsecrate to him. So consecration, what is it as we close? This is the view that is the consecrated Christian believer. All that I have and all that I am, I hold in trust. It isn't mine. Doesn't belong to me. It is God's gift to me to use in his service. I recognize that it is totally inadequate. It cannot of itself accomplish anything, and yet I'm willing to devote all to my Saviour, to serve him as an expression of my love to him and in response to his call, bring them hither to me. I do so willingly. I do so in faith, and I do so immediately, trusting that he will use those things so that I can do that which to me seems impossible in fulfilling his commission. I look to him for the increase and for the blessing upon others. And as he blesses me with perhaps greater opportunities, I see that only as an opportunity yet again to devote those entirely to him. Well, how consecrated, how devoted are we? Oh, do remember these little words of the Saviour. Bring them hither to me. What a promise. What a gracious Saviour. That he's even prepared to use us in his service to do great things. Well, may the Lord bless us in our service, in our life for him. Let's pray. Amen. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for the challenge and the encouragement of passages such as this. Nor, Lord, we are mindful of our own weakness and our own need, yet we pray that thou help us all truly to be consecrated unto thee. So come and bless us, challenge our hearts. O Lord, stir us, and then use us in a wonderful way. We look to thee for the blessing and for the increase, asking that all may redound to the glory of our dear Saviour, in whose name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.